The Sabres do something they have not done since 1989, one of the most fun games of the season. We're going to break it down. The Sabres win in Chicago. All coming up here on the Locked On Sabres podcast.
You're Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Joe DiBiase here on the show today, following a 6-5 victory in Chicago for the Buffalo Sabres. Their first win in Chicago since 2007. It has been a very, very, very long time. They had not even won their Stanley Cups the last time the Sabres won in Chicago, and what a way to do it. A historic comeback for the Sabres. We will break down all of the Sabre goals, except for one, coming up here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. It was just an incredible game to watch, an incredible game to be a part of. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Sneaky Joe Sports and the podcast account at Locked On Sabres. My co-host who is not with me today, Jordan Hanskin, is on Twitter at JR Hanskin. Be sure to shoot him a follow. But I did not watch this game live because I had a hockey game myself last night. Went into my hockey game with the Sabres down 3-0. Pretty comfortably was thinking they were going to lose, and they were going to lose big. And oh, again, another loss in Chicago for the Sabres, where they lose every single year. And I come out of my game where we lost after blowing a lead of our own. And I look at the Sabres score and I see 4-4, and then 5-4 Chicago. And I'm like, oh, they came back and then they blew it. Not knowing the nature, by the way, at the time of how they came back. And then I listened to the rest of the game on the radio, and then I went back and watched the game in the condensed version on MSG's app this morning. And holy cow, I'm mad I missed that game live. What, I mean, if you stuck through it, kudos to you. Kudos to you if you stuck through that game, especially after they were down 4-0, considering the Buffalo Sabres had not come back in a game from being down 4 goals since January 21st of 1989, Pierre Turgeon scoring goals. That was the last time that they had a 4-goal comeback. Tage Thompson gets the winner with 12 seconds to play on one of the flukiest and funniest goals you will ever see. I thought I saw a great tweet from one of my former interns at WGR, Kevin Syracuse, today on Twitter, where he said, how it started, it's Jack Eichel whipping his stick against the post with the Sabres after a loss, to how it's going, and it's Kevin Lankinen, the goaltender for the Chicago Blackhawks, breaking his stick over the post, and that is how that game ends up ending. And what a game for it to end. I'll show that goal a little bit later on for our YouTube audience. I'm going to break down the game goal by goal, only going through the Sabres goals tonight, because it is a fun game to watch, to think about, to break down, and we'll stay on the credit cake side of things when we give out some credit later for the goals that the Sabres scored. They deserve to win this game, though. You know, you look at the Deservometer at Money Puck. You look at Natural Stat Trick, 80% expected goals for, 80%, 19 for Chicago. Really? Rasmus Dahlin, another dominant performance by him. He was at 94% expected goals for. That was one of the greatest games a defenseman has had all season in the NHL. Dahlin played 26 minutes of ice time, 2 apples, 2 assists, and 21-37 at 5-on-5. When Dahlin was out there at 5-on-5, the shots were 17-1 in favor of the Sabres. Let me say that again, because it is rare that a defenseman has that type of dominance in a game. In 21 minutes, just over 21 minutes of Rasmus Dahlin at 5-on-5 against Chicago. The Sabres outshot Chicago 17-1. High danger scoring chances while he was on the ice at 5-on-5. 9-0 in favor of the Sabres. And they outscored them 2-0 while he was out there at 5-on-5. Dahlin putting the puck between people's legs. Just, again, this is weeks in a row now. That man goes wherever he wants to on the ice when he has the puck. And he is mean in his own end. He does not let you just sit in front of the net. He is physical. He is dangerous coming out of his own end with speed. He gets it out of his own end when he's pressured. He does not feel pressure. Rasmus Dahlin is playing like a Norris caliber defenseman. It is the first time I feel comfortable saying that. And it is a small sample size that he is playing this well. He's been playing well all season, but playing dominant the way he has, where he is the best player on the ice every time he's on the ice. It's only been a couple of weeks of this, but we're talking about weeks worth now of Rasmus Dahlin being a Norris caliber defenseman. I do not think that is exaggerating how good he has been as of late. He has been the star of the show for the Sabres in this 8-3-2 stretch that they have had in their last 13 games. 8-3-2 in their last 13 games. You know, it's funny. The Sabres started the season hot, and the most recent games, they're hot. So really, if you take the beginning and what is currently the end, I know, of course, there's another month to play, they are 13-5-3 in the months of March and October combined. It's that middle ground where they're 11-31, which is just the disastrous part of the season. The Sabres outshot in terms of shot attempts the Blackhawks last night, 59-29. The Corsi 4 percentage, 67% for Buffalo and 32% for Chicago. It was just what a historic day for Buffalo. It stinks that this stretch has come at a point in the season where they're out of the race. But I don't want to be the Debbie Downer. A lot of their underlying metrics tell you that even in this streak, they're not a great team. They're getting the results, and that could be good for a young group, you know? Even if you're not legitimately dominating the other team. They did do that last night against Chicago. But they're not necessarily doing that game-to-game yet. So what is all of this doing for the Sabres right now? Well, one thing that it might be doing is it's instilling hope and faith in both the fan base and also in the young group that, hey, next year, we could be good. We could be legitimately good. It is instilling hope and faith that what they're doing now can be repeatable from over the course of an entire season. And that next year, all these players are proving to themselves that we can hang with anybody. That in this stretch of games where we've won 8 of 13, we've beaten teams like Toronto twice, and we've beaten Minnesota, and we've beaten Vegas, and we've beaten even Vancouver, who's in a playoff race. You know, we're beating good teams all over the place. And maybe, just maybe, that will go a long way to guys like Peyton Krebs and Alex Tuch and Rasmus Dahlin and Henry Okiharju and Dylan Cousins. The list goes on and on and on of the young core nucleus that is going to be around into next season. And maybe this stretch now is helping them prove to themselves that they could be a legitimate playoff team or a playoff contender next season. And maybe it's not too early to say that. So I hope that that's the case. I'm not one that generally buys into that sort of stuff. And I will say that they're getting a little bit lucky. They're getting a lot of breaks. They're winning close games. They're good. They went to overtime 5 games in a row before winning in Chicago with 10 seconds to go last night. So I don't want to be the Debbie Downer. I don't want to rain on everybody's parade because this is fun. This is fun right now. It is fun to root for this group. But I am taking it with a grain of sand. Did I just do that phrase right? Sometimes, man, I have a phrase in my head and it's just completely wrong. But a grain of salt I'm not even confident in myself on that one. I know the phrase. I don't know why I can't think of it while I'm recording here. But I am treading lightly with this team right now while also trying to enjoy all of these games because they are fun to watch. They are entertaining. They are young. They are fast. They are offensive. They want to play up and down hockey. They are a fun team to watch and to root for. So I'm trying to value that over trying to actually, you know, pin down how good they actually are right now. So what a game. 6-5, Sabres over the Blackhawks. We will break down a bunch of the goals, 5 of the 6 coming back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Our episode is brought to you by Built Bar. It's that time of year. I've pretty much given up on all my New Year's resolutions, but not this year. I'm sticking to my resolution to eat right thanks to Built Bar. It almost feels like it's not really a resolution because I enjoy eating them so much. Have you tried the Puffs? If you haven't, you're missing out on one of Built Bar's best tasting bars. Puffs are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, they're marshmallowy, they're not just a protein bar. They are a treat, and they are 100% covered in chocolate. The new Puff flavor, Brownie Batter, is my new favorite Built Bar flavor. I'm confidently saying that after months of telling you that the cookie dough flavor with the actual pieces of cookie dough in the bar was my favorite. I think Brownie Batter Puff is my new favorite flavor of Built Bar. Low calorie, high protein, works for all sorts of diets. I'm doing keto right now. It's only 4 grams of net carbs. That works for me. 130 calories is all, 4 grams of sugar, and 17 grams of protein. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Joe DiBiase here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Let's give out some credit cake on the Sabres goals after getting down by a score of 4-0. If you want to watch along as we break down some of these goals, be sure to check out our YouTube channel, our Locked On Sabres YouTube channel. We will start at 4-0. Sabres at the 15-minute mark of the second period. And we have got a power play where Henri Jokiharju misses the back of the net, goes off the boards, pops out to Dylan Cousins, who then puts it across on a great pass to Victor Olofsson, who buries it in the back of the net. This play is all about Cousins. I am giving him 80% of the credit on this play. I'm giving 5% to Henri Jokiharju for, you know, just getting a lot of oomph on the shot, just missing the net, creating the scoring chance. And then I'm giving 15% to Victor Olofsson. He's the goal scorer. It is a good goal to make sure you bury it, but he's got the whole net to shoot at. The whole net, he puts it square in the middle. This play is all about Dylan Cousins. After it goes off of Calvin DeHaan, it pops out to Cousins, as you'll see here on our YouTube channel, right at the faceoff circle. And it could be very easy for a player in Cousins' position, right here, where I just paused it, where Cousins is just about to get the puck. His eyes are pointed towards the goaltender, and he's got a shooting lane. He's got the right corner of the net open. He's got the left corner of the net open, and Lankinen is moving. So he also has the 5-hole open. He's got 3 places to shoot, but Cousins has the wherewithal to recognize that while I've got a good chance here to score, if I get this pass through, Victor Olofsson, especially of all people, Victor Olofsson is going to score. Like, if I get the pass through, it's in the back of the net. So it could be very easy for a player to not recognize where Olofsson is and to just shoot it and shoot to score. Cousins, he's got that offensive awareness to know Olofsson is on the other side of the ice. He is wide open. And because Lankinen has just scrambled over to my side, if I get that pass over, he is not going to have the leverage or the time to recover and stop Olofsson's shot. And that is exactly what Cousins does. Puts the pass across, gets it through, doesn't even need to saucer it. And it's right on the tape. It's right in the wheelhouse for Olofsson to put an easy puck into the middle of the net where the goaltender could not get to. So a great job by Dylan Cousins. I'm giving him 80% of the credit on the Sabres' first goal that made it 4-1 midway through the second period. Now, just a couple of minutes later, with just under 10 minutes to play in the second period, this is the goal that makes it 4-2. Jeff Skinner. Jeff Skinner, man. He had a good game. Overall, a good game. He really makes this play. It's a turnover by the Blackhawks. Skinner reads the defenseman perfectly. So the defenseman is in the corner, and he's got his head down. He's not even really being pressured, which is the interesting thing here. It's why it's such a bad play by the Chicago defenseman. And he's got his eyes closed, and Seth Jones is on the other side here of the ice, and the Blackhawks defenseman just blindly tries to swing it around the boards. Jeff Skinner reads him like a book. He books it for the back of the net to go or to the back of the boards to pinch the puck up against the wall. He gets there first. There wasn't a lot on that puck. Seth Jones is in no position to challenge Jeff Skinner. Skinner gets there first. A great forechecking read by him. Then he actually, as you see here, he loses the puck. But Seth Jones is not in position again to recover. And what a bad job by Seth Jones. I mean, they gave up a first-round pick and $9 million for this guy. I mean, look at him. Look at him. I know that most of our listeners are audio, but he's just standing there. He's standing there at the side of the net, and he is just watching Jeff Skinner do whatever he wants. Skinner is got all day to do whatever. That's a horrible job by Seth Jones. I mean, I've never been a big fan of his game. I've always felt he has been an overrated defenseman because of his draft status and because of, you know, the athleticism. He's very Ristolainen-like in that way. But, man, how do you not challenge Jeff Skinner here? And Skinner kind of blindly puts the pass out in front, and he gets lucky, right? He's off a skate right in the wheelhouse to Victor Olofsson. Now, this is the goal that I really like Olofsson on, because this is not like the first one where he's got the whole net to shoot at. He doesn't. He's got really one spot to shoot at. And I mean, I guess he could go top left corner. It's a little tougher because that's where the defenseman is, so it might end up hitting a leg. But he knows he's got this top right corner, his top right. And man, does he bury it. So Jeff Skinner, for reading the pass, I want to give him probably 70% of the credit here. And I want to give 30% of the credit to Victor Olofsson, because while the pass got lucky at finding him, he was ready. He had his legs open. He had a stick on the ground ready to shoot it. And once he got lucky, we know that he's got a great shot. He's back, by the way, as a shooter. I mean, he went through that couple of months stretch without a goal. And I think a lot of it had to do with that wrist injury that he had early in the season. But that this is the goal scorer we knew right here. That is the goal scorer that we know Victor Olofsson to be. And when he's got an opportunity like that, the one thing he is great at is shooting the puck and putting it in the back of the net. And it's exactly what he did on that play to make it 4-2 Blackhawks over the Sabres. Then a very fluky goal. Dylan Cousins, he ends up kind of sliding it towards the net. It goes off a skate. Lankinen doesn't see it. I'm going to skip the Sabres' third goal because it was just a fluke. I guess I'd give Dylan Cousins the credit on it. But he did not have to do a lot on that play. So I give the credit to Cousins, but there really wasn't much for him to do there. All right. So the Sabres' fourth goal to make it 4-4. We're at the 17:32 mark of the third period. The Sabres are down one. And we've got Vinny Hinostroza to Will Butcher at his own blue line. A nice tape-to-tape pass to the red line to Jeff Skinner. A nice saucer pass to Tage Thompson, who carries it around behind the net. Just what an overall good team play. Great first pass by Hinostroza to not have tunnel vision looking forward. That's one thing I like about Hinostroza. A lot of third, fourth line, bottom six wingers, which he really is not on this team. He's a top six guy. A lot of guys like him, they get tunnel vision when they're skating through the zone. When they're skating through the neutral zone, it's got to go forward. Either find a guy to pass it to or chip and chase. Hinostroza, I mean, just, you know what? Look at this. Look at this awareness here. You know what? I've got open space ahead of me, but if I put this back to Will Butcher, look how much more space he has to decide who to pass to. That's a good play by Hinostroza. And then knowing how to play without the puck, because after he does that, he's behind Skinner and Thompson, but he charges the front of the net. So anyways, Skinner with a nice pass to Thompson. Thompson uses that big 6'7 frame of his to skate around behind the net. He beats Jake McCabe to the wall. And then just a simple pass to the point where I believe, let me make sure I get this right. Is it Rasmus Dahlin with the shot? It is Rasmus Dahlin with the shot. So he, I just lost track of my play here. What the heck happened? I don't know what happened. Sorry to my YouTube watchers and my listeners. What's going on here? Here we go. So anyways, the play goes behind the net. Thompson skates around, and then it's Dahlin. Dahlin is the one who takes the slap shot, gets on net, and look at Vinny Hinostroza sitting in front of the net, not letting Dominik Kubalik push him out from the front of the net, despite the fact that Kubalik is a much bigger player than Hinostroza is, and he is able, the Chicago native in his hometown, he is able to poke the puck into the back of the net. Sorry, that was Callahan, not Kubalik. And then he beats Jake McCabe to it, gets that little backhand touch on it, gets it by Lankinen, but Stillman, I keep getting the player wrong, 61. But just a great job by Hinostroza to be sitting there and to fight off a couple of other defensemen and get a stick on it and be able to put the puck in the back of the net to tie the game at 4. Two more to go through here. Joe DiBiase here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. We are giving out some credit cake. That last one I would give, you know, a lot of people deserve credit there. I give 40% to Hinostroza. I would give 20% to Skinner, 20% to Dahlin, 20% to Thompson. You know, make it, is that, that's 100, isn't it? I think I'm at the, 20% for the other three and 40% for Vinny Hinostroza. All right. Let's go to goal number 5. The Sabres tie the game at 5 at the 2:22 mark of the third period is where we jump to. And we have got Casey Mittelstadt doing a lot of good stuff here. But we'll start it at the back. It's a shoot-in that Lankinen puts to the boards. Olofsson takes a shot that's blocked. And look at Casey Mittelstadt. Casey Mittelstadt gathers the puck at the center, at kind of the face-off circle facing his own defenseman. And he chips it to the wall. Like, you know what? This is a weird place to chip it to and fight a guy off, but that's where the space is. Look at Mittelstadt going to where the space is, not just chipping it in blindly, not making a blind pass anywhere. Go get some space and pick your head up and look around. That's exactly what he does. And then when he looks around, oh, the middle of the ice is open. So he's the middle of the ice. He takes it along past the player to the wall, finds Victor Olofsson in the slot, and then Victor Olofsson, eyes in the back of his head. What a game he had. Eyes in the back of his head to wheel this around to Alex Tuch, who puts it top corner for his 9th of the season. I think the best play here is a tie between Casey Mittelstadt cutting to the middle of the ice, creating the opportunity in the first place with his speed, and then to Victor Olofsson for making that pass. Just that is, he has not been playing with Alex Tuch. That's the type of play you make when you've been playing with a guy for a long time. Eyes in the back of his head. I think the right thing to do here is 40% of the credit to Casey Mittelstadt, 40% of the credit to Victor Olofsson, and 20% to Alex Tuch for being able to finish in close like that to tie the game at 5. I mean, what a game this was turning out to be, right? Like, how fun was that game at that moment when they tie it at 5? Obviously, a bunch of Chicago goals mixed in there at the beginning, and then the one that made it 5-4 on the power play with under 10 to play. And then, how freaking funny is the game-winning goal? I mean, how funny is the game-winning goal? It's amazing that this puck finds the back of the net. All right, 23 seconds to play. Let's go through the film a little bit here on our YouTube channel. We're on the power play. The puck goes across to Thompson. Thompson going to play a little pitch and catch here with Rasmus Dahlin. Dahlin takes it. He skates to the middle to open up the one-timer for Thompson. Pass right into Thompson's wheelhouse, and boom. The stick breaks. The puck is going so slow. Look at the freeze frame here. The stick goes further than the puck. It's like when Happy Gilmore loses his club when he's losing it in the movie, and the club goes further than the ball. That's exactly what Tage Thompson does here. The stick actually is going faster than the puck. But look, puck goes off the wall and Lankinen. Oh, my God, man. It was so bad. It's so bad. Off his skating in. And then, I mean, this is where, look at the stick chop by Kachuk. And then Lankinen. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 stick hits on the post to break the stick. And the Buffalo Sabres get the win with 10 seconds to play on the funniest game-winning goal you will ever see. I can't stop watching it. Tage Thompson, what a way to get a game winner. There's actually a clip of him skating to the bench for another stick. He doesn't even realize he scores it. So what a win. What a game for the Buffalo Sabres, and they pull it off. The first comeback of four goals in franchise history since 1989 for the Buffalo Sabres. All right, fun game, fun episode to do after watching that game back. Sorry that it came a little bit later because I posted early with Jeremy at WGR this morning, and I had my hockey game last night. So come back for us tomorrow. The Sabres will be in action against the Winnipeg Jets. We'll talk about Sabres and Jets, and then after that, it's RJ night, Rick Jeanneret night. The banner goes up on Friday. I'll be in attendance. The place might be sold out. I think there's going to be more fans there than any other game this season. And we're still tracking and keeping an eye out for any red and black jersey reveal that I'm waiting on here. That better come soon. I'm getting annoyed. All right. Thanks for listening and making us your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Hockey. We will talk to you tomorrow, though, here on Locked On Sabres.